Hello, this is Dwayne Golden, and I'm your host and the executive director for the South Central PA Sickle Cell Council. I'm delighted here today as we prepare to meet a family that helps us tell this SCD story a little greater. And what I love about it is we get to learn firsthand that sickle cell is certainly something greater than just a title or a name of a disease. There are things about it that affect not just the individual, but the very family in which, of course, has to deal with this as a unit. Today, I'm privileged. I have a young couple here with me who have three children and they're teenagers. They are in their adolescent years. And while they're dealing with typical teenage stuff as parents, they're also dealing with sickle cell disease and some other needs. We want to hear from them. So won't you join me as we meet up and learn all about Frederick and Alicia Williams. Frederick and Alicia, how are you guys today?
We're doing well, thank you.
Well, as I understand it, you're in York, Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You're in York, Pennsylvania with three kids and married 19 years. And you look only 3 or 4 years above 19, so this is good. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
So thanks. We break it down. You have three children. You've got, I believe, Frederick, Aiden, and Erica.
Yes, that's right.
So let's talk. It's about sickle cell disease, this and the story of how it affects your family. Everyone's going to come up in this conversation, but let's begin with this. I remember looking back in 1988 when my wife was due with my firstborn son, our firstborn son. The challenge of seeing another set of hands and legs and eyeballs that were a reproduction of myself and my wife. It was all so shocking for a young 22-year-old or 23, however old I was. We had to deal with the typical childhood cold and ear infections and the flu and oftentimes other things. Tell me, at what point did you learn that Frederick had sickle cell disease? And was that before or what was that like for that transition? Because we know you had other things to deal with an infant. What was that like for you guys?
Well, we learned that Frederick had sickle cell disease when he was born. That was a test that they generally did. Mm-hmm. So when he was born, before we left the hospital, or it could have been maybe that same week, they called or they told us that he had sickle cell disease. I didn't know much about it. So when they said it, I was like, okay, he has sickle cell disease. I didn't know what that meant until years later.
Wow. So you knew about the title. Were you aware that you guys had the trait? Were you guys aware that you at least had the trait or not that even yet?
Yes. Prior to us getting married, we did our blood test and found out what our blood types were and then that we had the sickle cell trait. So I knew for a while before getting married.
Okay. I think that's important. So one of the things that I think that most people don't realize is that there's challenges with children anyway. And with those challenges that any of us would have with children, there's so many psychological dynamics and there are physiological dynamics. And then there's the husband and wife dynamics that have to happen at the same time. And for those who don't deal with sickle cell disease, it's something we could easily take for granted. For example, Frederick, I can't help but notice that your son, who has sickle cell disease, has the exact same name that you have. And of course, he may not know it, but before he was born, you had this vision of when he's going to bounce his first basketball, ride the motorcycle, or when he's going to throw the long ball in college. You, as a father, this happens. So at what point, what was that like for you when you were told, you knew about, of course, that you had the trait, but what was it like for you now as you just reshape how to make this work now dealing with sickle cell disease and your son? What was this transition like for you mentally from a psychological standpoint?
When he was first born, I don't know that it really hit me psychologically at that point. It was when he got a little older, he started having his crisis. Okay. And started having some challenges and disabilities, recognizable disabilities, not being able to do certain things. So for me, it was quite different because, like you said, thoughts is, you know, he's going to have be my namesake, grow up, play sports and have different ambitions. But, you know, it was a little change. It was a shift change for me. mentally to know that that wouldn't be the outcome and just to figure out what that will look like for him in the future.
Yeah, those dynamics often aren't thought about, Frederick, and I get the sense of that. Why would you think about that when he's an infant before crisis steps in? As a mother, there's a whole other dynamic that still matters, and it matters in the relationship between the two of you. There are some marriages that don't even withstand a child with sickle cell. The marriage itself can't hold it while they're dealing with learning each other as young. You guys were young whippersnappers in your early 20s, right? So, Alicia, as a mother, as a nurturing mother, we know that the last thing in your mind is sports and what kind of ball he's going to throw and all those things. The transition for you, I imagine, I don't know, was all about care. Well, what can I do when this pain comes or when these different situations come with sickle cell? What was that like for you in the early stages when you first were dealing with crisis or hospital visits and the unknowns? What was that like for you?
So when he was younger, like an infant, like I said, I didn't really know much about sickle cell when he was younger. And it wasn't until, like, for instance, I would put him in his baby pool, mm-hmm. and he would get in the water. And then when he got out the water, I would notice his joint swelling. And I'm like, what is this? And so I would take him to the hospital, and he didn't have to be hospitalized because he was in a crisis. And that was like my first inkling, like, okay, I know that this affects him this way. So for me as a mom, I think I was learning about the sickle cell as it was happening. Like, as he would have these crises, I would get to know more. And so, you know, that's the way it started off. Like, I would know by the signs and symptoms that I would see, you know, what that Freddie would have. And mainly when he was an infant, he would just have swelling of his hands and his feet, and he would have to get fluids and some pain meds. But he was always a happy-go-lucky child. It wasn't like how it is now as he gets older.
Yeah. Wow. You know, so many things are covered in that, Alicia, in that there's so much that is often taken for granted as a parent when you don't have to deal with this. And the same token, I think it's important to paint the other side of this. First of all, today in STD Stories, we're talking about sickle cell disease. We're talking about what it's like as a husband and a wife to go through what it means to raise and nurture and care for and love a child who needs to know that life goes on in spite of it, and he or she can do whatever it is they want to do, just know the rules of the landscape. And for Alicia and Frederick, who are doing a terrific job, by the way, and young Frederick is 17 years old. We're going to hear from him in a few minutes. But well, before we hear from Frederick and continue to talk with Alicia and Frederick, I want you to note this. If you like sports, you might note that Santonio Holmes of the Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl team of 2009 has sickle cell. Tiki Barber, another sports commentator who used to be an athlete, also, same thing. Miles Davis, one of the world's greatest jazz musicians, absolutely. There are so many names throughout history who have done well. However, you must note that it takes a special set of parents or a special support group to insist upon making sure that the child has the leverage that they can gain in spite of the disease and its terrible, the crisis and the other derivatives that come from it. So now that I've said that, I truly believe that as parents, you probably couldn't be any more proud of your son and how he has been able to continue in school and go on and not be a complainer, finding a way to make it work and seeing these transitions. So now it brings us to the psychology. It brings us to the psychological impact that it has on him. We know, and we talked about what it means for you. If you're all right with it, I would love for us to just take a minute. If you can invite Frederick in, just so I can ask him a couple of questions, introduce myself. I won't take too long, but I think it's important to hear what he has to say, because even though it's your story, he has one too.
Yes, thank you.
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. So while he's coming, so if it's okay, you can call him and ask him to come in. And yeah, if one of you have to go get him, it's okay. I will still talk to the other one. Okay?
He's coming now.
Oh, he's coming now. Okay. All right.
He's here.
I don't want anybody to leave, though. Don't leave, Frederick. Don't you leave, bro. I need you here. All right. What we're doing is we are talking to Frederick and Alicia Williams about their family life, about what life means for their family as they are nurturing and raising young man now, Frederick Jr., and his sister, Erica, and his brother, Aiden. It's important to note what it's like in the life of someone with sickle cell so you can understand, not only does life go on, some of the greatest contributors of our last century in our world, in the United States, have come from people who have sickle cell, who have pioneered and opened the door so that we can actually do more with less. And so there, here we are today. We're back and we're talking to Frederick and Alicia Williams, and they're with their young son, young genius whippersnapper, Frederick Jr. Frederick, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Man, you're a sharp-looking dude, man. You know, when I was your age, I actually had some hair, not that much, but I had some hair too. And we're talking about sickle cell disease, and I'm not 17 anymore, but when I was 17, I didn't want to be known for things. I didn't want to be known for my color. I didn't want to be known for things that didn't define me. So I suspect that you don't want to be known for, oh, this is Frederick with sickle cell, correct?
Correct.
Tell me, for you, there's an age of which you realize things are a little bit different for you. What age is that? When you realize, you know what? I can play with these dudes, but I can't go as long. I can, but I'm going to put myself in a bad situation. What age was it for you that you had to make the adjustments in how you carried yourself?
What age? I think when I was around 13 or 14, and also when I was in sixth grade, when I went to recess and I noticed that I really couldn't play basketball because I started to hurt. So then I told myself, well, you're different from the others, so you're gonna have to think about some of the choices you'll make by doing those things that other people are doing. So probably at a young age, 13, 14.
Okay. And so that's if you wonder why I'm asking that, so for if you're watching this, it's so important to think of the disease and not necessarily brand the person with it, but understand that there are personal adjustments that have to be made so he can continue to thrive and do things that he's doing. So Frederick, as you think about that at 13, was it a, oh no, I can't do this anymore? Or was it more of a, okay, when I do it, I've got to think of how I'm going to do it and how long?
I think it was how I'm going to do it and how long, because at some points I really wanted, let's say I was playing basketball, I really wanted to play basketball, but I had to tell myself, so I wanted to still play, so I did, but I had to tell myself to hold back just a little bit. Don't do as much as I did before.
Got it. You know, Frederick, so it's interesting that you say that, as someone typically, let me see if I can bring us all into the same scene, because I think this is gonna be important. I'm thinking, oh, we're all here. I'm kicked out Alicia, and that's okay. I'm gonna bring her right back in. You're okay there, Alicia. There we go. We got everybody in. So if a young man comes off of a sprained ankle and starts going back to practice, they make their adjustment. This is not abnormal that you have to make adjustments. The thing that you are doing, which is very intelligent, you're finding out once you know, you don't ever go all in at the risk of spending 3 or 4 days in the hospital. I think that's a beautiful thing and a very mature on your part, Frederick. At what point is it for you? Because now you're 17, you have a vision for your future. And like most 17-year-olds, with or without sickle cell, your vision might be different than what your parents are, right? It may be maybe paying a little bit different. I'm assuming that there aren't a lot of adjustments around that. I think being a teenager is being a teenager. For you, does having sickle cell paint any type of a different scenario for you with this idea of you have an idea of what you want for your future and what you're looking to do and what you want to be? Does having sickle cell change how you interact with your parents about that?
Not as much. Not really, because I can still, when I grow up, I can still be able to do the same things. I can still be able to do the things that I want to do because I'm not really doing as much. Because I want to become a journalist, and be on TV. So I'm not really doing any extracurricular things other than being on TV as an anchor.
Really?
Yes.
That's exciting for me because I'm no anchor and I'm doing this thing and I'm out of sorts, but it's a beautiful thing. So that's interesting. You know, I'm going to give you some feedback from the side of someone else from a different generation. It was very common in my generation, if someone wanted to be a journalist, of course, the dad's like, what do you want to do that for? You're not going to make any money. You know, the parents would do their thing. I don't know if you go through that or not, but parents are parents. If someone wanted to be an artist or a journalist, it was like fighting tooth and nail just to be able to do it and try to get your parents to see that it's not about money for you. You want to be who you are. And I think there's not a more beautiful thing for you to demonstrate that you are so much more than a label of sickle cell disease than to be that. And you have supportive parents, so God bless you for that. But, you know, a lot of the families that we have that deal with it don't have the individual doesn't have two supportive parents. They may have one parent who maybe half supported. They may have a grandmother that isn't supportive. They may have different scenarios. So you are very well blessed. If you didn't know it, I wanted to say it here publicly. Okay? Now, Frederick, here's something that's interesting. As a future journalist, do you already have picked out what school you're going to go to, or an idea?
I have two in mind.
Okay, that's good. So as you're hearing it, as a person with sickle cell, life is life. Whether you're a teenager, in your primary years of life, or a young adult, the decisions have to be made. What school? How am I going to play this sport? How am I going to engage with my parents? This is the same thing. But here's what I want you to note. A lot of the challenges that Frederick and others have to deal with could be made better if we had the proper funding. There's a lot of funding that's needed for the research, a lot of funding for the quality of life in a world where we just have a new normal because of COVID-19. Frederick, you actually are what I would consider a beautiful picture of the possibilities without the funding, right? That's what I say. You are very blessed. You have a bright future ahead of you, as do most individuals. But we want our constituents and those who are watching this to note that, yes, there are a lot of things that go into play in dealing with sickle cell as a young teenager. And the last thing as a teenager you want to be is labeled. So, Frederick, I'm going to get into a conversation that may be a little uncomfortable with your parents beside you, but you're going to be okay with this one, okay?
Okay.
You're at an age now where certainly dating and the opposite sex have become more intriguing than ever, as well as the hormones, right? So as you are looking at this idea of dating, are you dating yet? Are you at that part where you're actually taking a girl to the movies or something like that yet?
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay. Okay, it's all right. Hey, look, and it's probably the answer I'd give when I was beside my parents too. So... Say, mom, could you leave the room for a minute, right? No, I'm kidding. But when this happens, have you thought about it? So at what point, I want to be myself, and I want her to like me for me. I don't want her to sympathize with me. I want her to like me. These are things that most people won't think about, Frederick. But I'm empathetic naturally, and I know that I'm going to ask you if this is crossing your mind. As you're dealing with that person that you might be interested in, have you already begun thinking about, at what point did she earn the right to know about my disease and what it means and how it won't be threatening for her or possibly could be?
Well, I'm not a big fan on telling people that I have sickle cell in a way because it's kind of embarrassing, but I also really just don't want to tell them. So if I'm ever in a relationship, I'll probably... That's a good question. It'll be a while before I let her know, just to see how things are going. Then,
hey, look, they would have to really steal your heart away for that to happen, right?
Yeah,
your heart would have to skip a few beats for that one to get it. And you know, I get it. You know, I like I said before, the average teenager. If you're a teenager and watching this, think about what you don't have to think about. All you do is go into a relationship. But Frederick, it's important for him already, and he's thinking about it. He had to mature in a way that you might not have had to yet to think about, hey, look, before I entrust my dignity and other things with this person, they had certainly better earn it. And at the same token, I don't want them to see me as that. I want them to see me as Frederick. Frederick the journalist, the young, suaving, debonair dude. I want them to see me that way. So great, great answer. And one other thing I wanted to do before I send some questions to your parents. Frederick, as a journalist, I've been looking. I've already interviewed 3 or 4 people who could help me co-host Sickle Cell Stories. And I'm looking for someone who is comfortable in their own skin. What I mean by that is someone who's, this is something they can see themselves doing in the future, right? I even told your mother this. I didn't know that she had a journalist in the house when I asked it. But it certainly would help in this, in co-hosting this, what we're doing here with Sickle Cell Stories, because you know more than I do. I do have the trait. I don't have the disease. I have worked in this arena with sickle cell disease for a number of years, but I don't have it. And so maybe there's something you could lend to it. I shouldn't have asked you this publicly, but I just figured as a journalist, maybe it lends towards some college credits and some other stuff, right? And a girl's going to say, hey, look, I saw the SCD stories the other day. There was that. Who's that cutie that was with you? I'm like, hey, back up now. You got to get through his mom and daddy first. Okay, enough of that. I want you to think about that. And I'm going to come to you and ask some questions to your mother and your father. But don't leave. I need you here because I want to see your facial expression. If you need to chime in and ask them to hold off for a second, you can do that.
Okay.
I've said some things that would normally make me uncomfortable as a parent to Frederick. And I'm sure you picked up on that when I asked him about not just the college, what his vision is and is different from your parents. Those things will make a parent uncomfortable. And that was not my intention. But you deserve to have the respect of me saying this now. So me saying that, you both have a vision for your son. And a lot of that vision has a lot to do with protecting him from those who would violate his trust when it comes to sickle cell, whether it's a person of the opposite sex or some school who won't, of course, make their adjustments to make sure he can thrive. Tell me about that. What is that like for you that he may not even understand why? He might even feel like you're interfering. What is on your plate? Either one of you can chime in. What's that like for you right now as you have to endure that every day because you have 2 other children?
So for me, because I am mom and I've always advocated for Freddie, especially in the school system, because in the school system that they're in now mm-hmm. or that they've been in even when he started school, a lot of they didn't know about sickle cell. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to go into the school and educate everybody that was in contact with him down to the bus driver, only because with sickle cell, you know, they can have strokes, they can have other things going on. Sure. So I always wanted to know anybody that's in contact with my son, they know about sickle cell disease. I would put together packets and I every year, and they would say, we still have ours from the last year. I wanted them to have it. So now that he's getting older and he's going to college and he wants to go to college, I'm concerned because I've always advocated for him. And so I want him to, one, kind of learn how to advocate for himself and understand what is out there for him, even with dealing with sickle cell and being able to care for himself, because not just advocating for him with the school, with anybody, I've always cared for him. I've always just been there. And so now that he's getting older, I think for me, I get anxious and I worry about what does that look like when he says, you know what, Mom? I'm 18 years old. I think I want to go here and go there, not knowing what is really out there and how people can treat him and not knowing, you know, just how to deal with that. I think for me, that's more of my concern because I've always felt like I've advocated for him, I'm the one that knows. And it would come to the point where I would call the school and say, hey, you know, it's 30 degrees outside. Make sure he doesn't go outside, or did he go outside, or like, that's how it's always been. And so now that he's getting older, I think for me, I have to kind of tune that down and give it to him and say, look, this is what you have to do for yourself.
No, I get that. Now, if you're hearing this, hey, Alicia sounds like any normal mother, any natural mother who has that nurturing spirit and is bonded with the child since they were in the womb. So that's not abnormal. So I want you to feel comfortable, Alicia, that certainly you... that is very good that you've done that. And the beautiful thing is you have the balance. A lot of the families who deal with sickle cell don't have the balance of having both mother, father, nurturing and guider situation. So Frederick, I would love to hear you, Frederick Sr., I would love to hear your take as well, because I imagine it's going to be similar and different than Alicia's.
So can you do me a favor, repeat the question for me?
Yeah, my question is, so in the whole idea of looking at Frederick's future, I asked an uncomfortable question about his vision for his future versus yours, and it's going to be a little different, and things that normally make a parent uncomfortable. And you guys have a great reason for feeling what you do, and he has a great reason for feeling what he does. Tell us about what you see in his maybe going off to college, starting a family, and all those things that where you have to make some adjustments mentally, or you have a response to this, since you know that you slowly each year have to keep letting go a little bit.
Yeah, I want to say that for the most part, when it comes to caring, of course, my wife is the caring, the nurturer.
Right.
And I have somewhat of the same concerns. Mm-hmm. But as his father, you know, making sure that he's prepared to handle her concerns, right? Right. My wife's concerns with him being able to be independent, self-sufficient, being able to maintain for himself, and especially if he's going to go away or go off to college, is being able to maintain his health. And then also, you know, from a man's perspective and when to grow up, and if he's going to be successful in his career, is making sure he's responsible enough to take some of those same attributes or lessons and actually put him in place for his professional career. So right now, him being 17, my thoughts is, how do I prepare him to be prepared for what's normal, what's typical, while still dealing with his sickle cell and having that as an added complexity to whatever he's going to do out in the real world.
Wow. Yeah. Spoken like a true father. So from the outside, I see a balance between the nurturing and that. Then I see the ultimate balance in Frederick's response. The one thing I heard from Frederick is the one thing that was vitally important for his mother, he needs to shy away from that a little bit just so he can sustain himself. He doesn't want everyone to know that first, whether it's 30 degrees out or if it's 100 degrees out. That's not where he has the lead. He needs to be Frederick in order to be in his... Am I right, Frederick? I don't want to misspeak. So, right. Yeah. So, I don't know if you guys are hearing it. So, I see a symphony of things going on. And this is where I think it's not one or the other. I think every part of the puzzle matters. That is... Frederick Sr.'s approach that he cares and those things, but not the same way as mother does. His caring has more to do with, the other elements that a man usually brings to the picture. Alicia is more on the nurturing side, making sure things are prepared. Now that Frederick is old enough to do a lot of that on his own, she doesn't have to do it anymore, but she can't stop loving and caring and wondering what things will be like for him. So the stories of sickle cell, not very different from your stories, with the exception of they have to adjust in their physical, psychosocial, economic. The family must make the adjustments so that Frederick can be like many of the others who have gone on to thrive in so many ways beyond the norm. They need to make sure this environment's created for them. And so I thank you, first of all, the three of you, for being here and sharing your story. But I would like to thank each of you for watching. If you haven't yet, think about this. With just your donation, you can go to donatesced.com, or you can actually visit us on our social media. And let me see if I have that here. I might have our social media things here, and I don't. You can visit us on our social media, and you can make a donation so that we together can make a difference. Alicia, who is a part of the board of directors for the South Central PA Sickle Cell Council, and I believe the treasurer, the secretary. Yes. And her and her family have done things over the years. And there are many families like this throughout the state of Pennsylvania who give their all to make what you're hearing about possible. Now, Frederick Jr., I want you to think about the question that I asked you, because I think you have not just a great demeanor, I think it's clear to me that you want to be a journalist because you're very articulate in the way you represent yourself, and you know how to absent the extra emotion to make sure that people can get the actual message, and you do it very well. Frederick Sr., thank you. It's my first time meeting you and getting to know you. Thank you for being here with us as well. And your story, many don't know, in a generation which typically, no matter what interferes with the family, is pretty much a fatherless generation. It's great to see you there supporting and working within the family, the dynamics of not just Frederick Jr., but Erica and Aiden. Did I say the name right?
Yes.
The three of them. And just so everyone knows, I'd like to call your family a champion family. It takes a champion family to keep moving in spite of. Not to disperse, but to keep moving. So thank you for being here. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us, Frederick Jr., before we say goodbye, just so people can note, hey, this is, as a person with sickle cell, here's what I would like to see. It doesn't matter what it is. Would you like to share anything with us?
Well, first of all, I just like to say thank you for having me on the podcast. It was very nice. But also, I just want to say that I think sickle cell should be recognized just a little more, because not a lot of people know about it. And people with sickle cell usually don't show it on the outside. It's mainly on the inside. Yeah. So it's like an invisible disease. You really can't see it, but it's there. So I just want people to know that there's people out there with sickle cell struggling, but people just don't understand or don't know, realize it yet and how bad it is.
Wow. You guys heard it. Frederick's talking to you. Don't worry. You'll see him soon as a journalist in just a few years and maybe your local station. But in the meantime, thank you for being here, Frederick. Thank you for Frederick Sr. and Alicia. God bless you guys and your family. Hope to see you again soon. Frederick Jr., we're going to be calling you back for your own private interview in a few weeks. Hope you will agree and say yes to us, because people need to hear what you have to say. This is Dwayne Golden. Once again, thank you for joining us at SED Stories. Take care.
Thank you. We'll be right back.